Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 6. And we'll be reading the verses 45 to 56. And if you're a visitor with us this morning, do not have a Bible, you will notice that it's printed on the back of your bulletins. So you can follow along. Mark chapter 6. And we'll be reading the verses 45 to 56. Let us now hear the reading of God's Word. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went into the hills to pray. And when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on the land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately, he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran through that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And everywhere he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Thus the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and infallible word. The Church of Jesus Christ is a church that is in the wilderness. It is a church that is on its way to the promised land. And we as a people, as a congregation, have been learning that in the last few weeks in our study of chapter 6 of the book of Mark. In the beginning of chapter 6, we saw the prophet without honor who was rejected in his own country. Jesus went into his home region of Nazareth, where he had grown up and where people knew him, and they recognized him, and they heard his teaching, and they saw his miracles, but they didn't believe. They could not see past Jesus being a man. They had said, "Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. They did not believe, nor did they see that Jesus was the Son of God. They saw him only as a man, only as another one of them who walked upon this earth as a man and not as God himself. And so after being rejected in his home region, and which was a symbol of the rejection of all the Jews, of all the people in the synagogues, of the rulers of Israel who had rejected him as the Son of God, Jesus begins to call a new people of God. And we saw how Jesus sent out his 12 disciples. He sent them out and he gave them authority over evil spirits. He gave them the power to heal people who were sick. And they anointed them with oil. And he dressed the disciples, or told them, to take nothing on their journey except a staff and to wear sandals. We saw that at the beginning of chapter 6. And we remember that this was a similar dress that the Israelites wore when they left the promise, or when they left the land of Egypt. They celebrated the Passover, and there were specific instructions in the book of Exodus that the people were supposed to have a staff with them, and they were supposed to keep their sandals on because they were going on a wilderness journey. And last week, we saw how the disciples and the apostles went out and they ministered wearing these clothes, and they did these miracles before all the people, and the people began to see that. And so the apostles got in a boat with Jesus, and they were going off to a solitary place, and before they could get there, the people ran out to them. And the people had heard the message of the apostles, they had seen the miracles that they had done, and they ran away from the cities and from the towns out to the wilderness place where they landed on the boat. And so when Jesus landed there, he saw people out in the wilderness, and he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And after teaching them for a while, Jesus began to feed these people. Jesus saw them as sheep without a shepherd, people who had left the land that they had been living. They left the land of Herod, wicked King Herod, who was wickedly ruling this land, and they recognized Jesus as a true shepherd. And so they ran out to him in the wilderness, and Jesus fed them in the wilderness, and he fed them bread. And you remember that Jesus, unlike Moses, who had to pray to God for bread to come down from heaven, Jesus himself broke the loaves. Jesus himself broke the fish. He did not have to pray for God to send it from heaven, but Jesus himself, acting as God himself, acting as the one who was greater than Moses, fed his people in the wilderness through his disciples. And we know that the wilderness is a place of judgment. After Adam and Eve were pushed out of the Garden of Eden, the ground was cursed, it became dry, it became dusty. It is not a garden out in the desert or out in the wilderness, because the land is cursed. And that is where the people were fed. And Jesus, the true shepherd, begins to renew the wilderness. He feeds the people out in the wilderness, providing them food on their way to the promised land. And now, after feeding these people, we come to verse 45. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of them to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. Jesus is giving a command here. The word for making his disciples get into the boat is a command. It's something that he is almost forcing the disciples to do. He is forcing them to get in the boat and to go ahead to Bethsaida. Now, you have to realize that where the disciples are right now is on the south end, the southwest end of the Sea of Galilee. Here's the Sea of Galilee up here, and we have the Jordan River, and the disciples are down on this side. This side is the east side, and this side is the west side. And you remember that the Sea of Galilee causes, and the Jordan River causes a division between Jew and between Gentile. On this side, they have people who do not have the Old Testament. You remember that Jesus went into the region before, and he met a man with a demon possessed, with a demon, and he drove out the demon, and he threw the pigs into the sea. And so the pigs were not things that Jews would eat, because pigs were unclean. So we know that this side of the sea and this side of the Sea of Galilee was a Gentile territory that did not have the Old Testament. And now Jesus is on the southwest side, where he has fed the people in the wilderness. And now he is telling the disciples to go north, and the northeast side of the sea. And on the northeast side of the sea is Gentile territory. And you can understand why these disciples are reluctant to go to Bethsaida, because this is where the Gentiles live. This is where there are people that are unclean. Jews did not associate with Gentiles. Whenever they went to a foreign land, as we learned earlier in this book, they would often shake the dust off their feet and shake the dust off their clothes after they had been with the Gentiles, because the Gentiles were unclean. They had to separate themselves from these people because they were unclean. And now Jesus is telling the disciples to go to this Gentile territory while he dismisses the crowd. Now remember that this crowd is the representation of a new Israel. They have heard the message of the apostles who has gone and who has preached to them, who has done miracles on their behalf. They have recognized Jesus as the true shepherd. And they have run from their land. They have run from their land of slavery under the rule of King Herod. And they have become to Jesus out there in the wilderness. And they are representing the new Israel, who has heard the call of Jesus and who has heard the call of God. But now Jesus is dismissing them. And you would think, why is he dismissing them? Why doesn't Jesus organize these people into an army and come once again, like Joshua, into the land and knock off King Herod and rule as king in Israel? But Jesus doesn't do that. He dismisses this crowd because this new Israel will consist of more than just people on the west side of the Galilee and on the west side of the sea, or of the Jordan River. This new Israel will be for Jews and for Gentiles. And so the disciples have just gone out and they have gathered these people, and now Jesus is sending the disciples to Bethsaida, a Gentile city. He is going to show them in a journey, in this wilderness journey as they cross the sea, that they are going to have a kingdom which will be of Jew and of Gentile. Of course, the disciples are reluctant to go. This is a Gentile city, and they are popular. They have just fed 5,000 people, and they don't want to go. But following Jesus' command, they go. And so after leaving them, Jesus went into the hills to pray. And when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on the land. Here you see the separation of Jesus from his people. You have Jesus up in the mountains where he was praying, and you see his disciples getting into a boat and getting ready to cross the Sea of Galilee. And remember, these were fishermen. This was something that they did on a regular basis. They fished upon the sea. But don't forget what we have learned about the sea in our study of the book of Mark. We saw that the sea represents judgment. You remember that Noah, when he came in the ark, and the waters came up, and Noah was in the ark, and the earth was destroyed, and the waters swallowed up in judgment all of the people. You remember in the Red Sea, when the path was opened through the sea, and the Israelites went through, and the Egyptians were destroyed from behind. They were swallowed up into the sea when they tried to follow. You remember the demons earlier in the book of Mark, the demons Jesus drove into the sea where they were destroyed. And we made that connection from the book of Revelation, how there is no sea in heaven. And so Jesus has sent the disciples upon the sea, upon the waters of judgment, just as they were out in the wilderness, which is dry, which is dusty, which represents judgment. And Jesus has now sent his disciples to cross the waters of judgment. And look what happens. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. The disciples are on the lake, and Jesus sees them as they are in trouble. The wind is blowing. They are straining at the oars. They have no control over their boat because they are trying to cross. They are trying to move across this lake. They are trying to follow the commands of Jesus, but the wind is against them, and they are not making any progress. And the waves are splashing up against the boat. And look when Jesus comes to them. It's about the fourth watch of the night. It's 3 a.m., the fourth watch of the night. In Jewish time meant 3 a.m. And so Jesus has dismissed them at evening, and now, as the sun is going down, the disciples are trying to cross the lake, and they are caught in this wind, and they have been fighting this wind and rowing their oars all night long. And finally, at the fourth watch of the night, at 3 a.m., Jesus comes, and look what he does. He went out to them, walking on the lake. Turn with me for a minute to the book of Job. The book of Job, chapter 9. Job, chapter 9. If you look at Job, chapter 9, starting with verse 6, Job is here writing about the glory of God. He shakes the earth from its place and makes its pillars tremble. He speaks to the sun, and it does not shine. He seals off the light of the stars. He alone stretches out the heavens. And verse 8 tells us that he treads on the waves of the sea. Please keep your finger in Job for a minute. But here you see Job writing about God, writing about how the sea has no mastery over God. God controls the waves of the sea. God can ride upon the waves of the sea because the sea represents judgment. The sea represents death. And now we see Jesus, who has come, God in the flesh, walking upon the sea. Jesus is fulfilling the text in Job. He has come, and the seas do not swallow him. The seas do not allow him to sink, because Jesus is God, because Jesus is the Son of God. He can walk upon the sea. And now, once again, you can see how Jesus is greater than Moses. Moses could only pray to God that God would send down manna from heaven and that the manna would come down. But Jesus broke the bread himself, and Jesus gave the bread to others himself. Moses had to hold up his hands while the Red Sea and the waters were risen, and so the people could go through. And as long as Moses held up his hands, the people could walk through the water. But Jesus walks upon the sea himself. Only God can walk upon water, and that's what Jesus is doing. If Moses had tried to walk upon the Red Sea, he would have sunk. If any of you I would dare say if you went out to Deception Pass and tried to walk across the water on your own, you would sink. This is a great miracle. This is Jesus showing all of His glory, showing that He is the Son of God. And I challenge any of the faith healers or people who say that they can come and they can still do miracles to try to walk across a sea. They will not do it. But now it is 3 a.m. The disciples have been battling this sea all night long. They are in the midst of the sea. The waves are banging against the boat. And Jesus comes walking out on the water at 3 a.m. And notice what it says. He was about to pass them by. Turn back for a moment to the book of Job. Job chapter 9, verse 8. And let's read on a little bit. After verse 8, where it says, He treads on the waves of the sea, it says, He is the master of the Bear and the Orion, the Pleiades and the constellations of the south. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be numbered. When He passes by, I cannot see Him. When He goes by, I cannot perceive Him. Job is writing about God, God who is the Lord over all of creation, who is the Lord over the seas, over all the things upon the earth. And when Job is writing about God, God is passing him by, and Job cannot see Him. Job cannot see God because God is in heaven, because God is mighty, because God has not fully revealed Himself in this earth. But now look what Jesus is doing. When Jesus is walking upon the lake, when He's walking upon the water, it says He was about to pass them by, but they saw Him. They saw Him. He is revealing Himself. They saw Him walking upon the lake, and when they saw Him, they thought He was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw Him and they were terrified. They saw God and they were afraid. But immediately, He spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." The disciples are terrified. They think that Jesus is a ghost. They are afraid of Him. They've been out on this lake all night long. And as Job, who could not see God, Job who had God pass him by, Jesus does not. They see God because Jesus is God who has come to earth in the flesh. Jesus has come and He has revealed Himself. And notice the words that Jesus says to them. "Take courage, it is I." The Greek words there are ego, a me. And the words ego, a me in Greek are better translated, "I am." It is I am. If you were to look in the Greek Septuagint, you would see that those same Greek words are the words used at the burning bush. When Moses stood before the burning bush, Moses was going to be the leader of a new Israel, of a new people of God. But Moses did not know God. He did not fully understand who God was because God had not revealed Himself. And out there in the desert, he saw this burning bush. And Moses said, and God told Moses, "Moses, you've got to go and you've got to be a leader of a new people of Israel." And Moses said, "Who shall I say has sent me?" And God said, "It is I am. I am has sent you." And Jesus has now identified Himself as the one who is greater than Moses. Jesus is God. He has come. He is walking upon the waves of the sea. Jesus is I am. They are to take courage. They are not to be afraid. They will be the ones who are sent out by Jesus to call the new Israel, to call the new people of God. And Jesus has revealed to them who He is out there upon the sea. And notice in verse 51 what He does. Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. There is no doubt to the disciples who controls the wind. There is no doubt to the disciples who is sovereign and control over all of His creation. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as soon as Jesus gets into the boat with them, there is a connection. The wind dies down. They have been battling this wind all night long. In all of their strength, they have been trying to cross this sea. And Jesus controls the sea. Now notice one more thing about Jesus passing them by. Turn with me for a moment to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus chapter 33. The book of Exodus chapter 33. And I'll be reading verses 12 to the end. Moses is upon the mountain, and the Israelites are at Mount Sinai, and they are getting ready to go out into the wilderness and to head for the promised land. And Moses goes up upon the mountain, and starting with verse 14, the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other peoples of the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But, he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you on a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." Moses is ready to lead the people to the promised land. Moses is ready to go, but God needs to go with them. Moses knows that if God doesn't go with them, if God isn't with his people will die in the wilderness. No one will be able to identify them as God's people unless God goes with him. And Moses wants to see God's glory. But God does not show him his glory, for no one sees the face of God unless he dies. He did not fully reveal himself to Moses, but now Jesus has come, and Jesus is revealing himself that he is God, because only God could walk upon a sea. No one could ever walk upon a sea unless they were God himself. And Jesus is walking upon the sea. He appears to the disciples. He tells them that I am. And he gets in the boat with the disciples. He does not pass them by. He does not pass them by in all of his glory as God passed Moses by and Moses could not see him. But God appears to him and God gets in the boat with them. They see him as their Savior. And when he gets in the boat with them, he is intimate with them. He joins them in their battle. He joins them in their wilderness journey. And when he joins them, there is complete calm. The disciples are on a journey. They are on a journey to a place where Jew and Gentile will join together into one kingdom. They are battling the judgment waters. They are seeking to cross these judgment waters and to get to the other side. And Moses cannot be in God's presence. But there they are, with Jesus, with God, in the boat with them on their wilderness journey, crossing the judgment waters. But look what the disciples do. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. The disciples are like Pharaoh. Pharaoh saw the miracles of Moses. Moses came and he pulled his hand out of his sleeve and it was leprous and he put it back and it was clean. Moses came and he threw his staff upon the ground and it turned into a snake. And then he picked it up again and it became a staff. And Moses did these miracles in front of Pharaoh. He revealed that he had been sent from God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he would not let the people go. And the disciples have seen Jesus break bread and feed his people out in the wilderness. They have witnessed Jesus walking upon the sea as Lord of the sea. But they don't get it. Their hearts are still hard. The disciples do not make it on this journey. Because the disciples do not fully see the nature of this kingdom. They do not fully see what this kingdom will mean when Jesus is coming. And so Jesus has some things that he has to teach them. And so in verse 53 we read that when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. And Gennesaret is on the west side of the lake. They did not make it all the way to the Gentile city, which was on the east side, but they ended up coming to the west side. And when they get to Gennesaret, as soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And everywhere he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them even touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. Jesus takes his disciples to the marketplace. And the marketplace was where Jews and Gentiles, if there were Gentiles in the area, would come together. Whenever, as we'll see in the next section in chapter 7, whenever the Pharisees and others, who were people who were holy, entered into the marketplace, they would always leave and they would carefully wash their hands. They would shake the dust off of their clothes because they had been in the context of Gentiles. They had been in the context of people who did not belong to the kingdom of God as they defined it. And so they carefully covered and washed themselves off. And now Jesus doesn't go to a synagogue anymore. Jesus goes to a marketplace, where he begins to teach the disciples the nature of the kingdom that he is going to bring in. That it will be a kingdom for Jews and for Gentiles. And while he's in that marketplace, he's healing sick people. He's healing people who are unclean. Jesus himself, who is God, is coming to make a new people clean. He is coming to change the Jews, the Gentiles, into people who belong to the kingdom. He is coming to make sick people clean. He is coming to make them be part of the kingdom of God. And so do you see the picture in our text? Jesus has called the people out of the wilderness. He has called them out to where he feeds them. And then he dismisses them. He is going to show the disciples the nature of the new kingdom. That the kingdom is greater than the kingdom of Israel. But this will be a kingdom of Jew and of Gentile. And disciples are beginning to cross the lake, but they do not get there. Because the disciples still have to be taught some things about what it means to be clean and about what it means to be unclean. The disciples experience a wind. They cannot cross to the other side by themselves, but God has to intervene. Jesus gets into the boat with them. He does not pass them by, but he reveals himself to them as to who he is. And so they do not make it to the other side because Jesus has more to teach them. And so how are you? How are you in your wilderness journey? You are still crossing the waters of judgment as these disciples are. You are not in heaven yet. You are still on your way to the promised land as someone who is in the wilderness, someone who is wandering, someone who sees a land which is beyond. But many people live their lives, as I found, as atheists. Like the disciples who are on the sea, who are trying to cross by their own power, who are trying to cross the waters of judgment, who are struggling at the oars, who are fighting against the wind, and they see Jesus come, who is God, who is sovereign, who is Lord over their lives, who is Lord over the sea, and they are afraid. They don't believe in him. They do not believe that Jesus is the Lord over creation. Their hearts are hard. And the disciples, as they live their lives, as they're crossing these waters of judgment, as they're heading towards the promised land, they are afraid. They are scared. They do not recognize Jesus as he was, as the Lord, as who is God. Yet even in their unbelief, even in their hardened heart, even though they do not fully understand, Jesus comes to them. He reveals himself who he is, and he climbs in the boat with them. Jesus doesn't pass them by as God passed by Moses. Jesus gets in the boat with the disciples. And as you have been wandering on your wilderness journey, as you head towards the promised land, as you are afraid of the world around you and where you are going if you did not have God, you have the comfort to know that Jesus has come into your life, that He is in that boat with you, that He is in sovereign control over your life. And sometimes things happen to you and you don't know why they're happening. And sometimes you want to cry out to God and because you don't understand it, because you're miserable in this life. But you know that Jesus is with you, that Jesus has gone into your boat with you. God has intervened. And some people say, but why can't I go now? Why can't I make it to the other side? Why can't I just go right now into heaven and I don't have to live like this anymore? But like the disciples, you're not ready yet. In the next few weeks, as we get to the end of chapter 8, we will see that the disciples do make it to Bethsaida. But Jesus still had some things that the disciples had to learn before they could go, before they could complete their wilderness journey. And sometimes I talk to people, and they've been through things such as a divorce, perhaps the loss of a child or of a spouse, and they're miserable and they wish they could go to heaven now already. But God still has things that you have to learn. God still is teaching you. There is more about His kingdom that you have to know. There is more about Him. There are more ways to serve Him that He has not fully revealed Himself. And so Jesus, who has come, and you who belong in Christ, He has gone to you in your boat. He has seen you trying to cross the waters of judgment. He has seen you trying and struggling. But He is now with you. He has joined you in your boat. He is intimate with you. He has revealed Himself fully to you as the Son of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we look at this passage, we see the glory of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come, who has fully revealed Himself to His people, who is Lord over all of creation and who is Lord over all of our lives. And Lord, the disciples went out and they had a task. They were out to bring Your kingdom. They were out as Your servants. Yet, Lord, they still had more to learn. And Lord, we are Your servants. We are living our lives for You. We are on our way towards heaven, toward a promised land that You have for us, where there will be no more sea, where there will be peace with God. But Lord, we're still struggling. And Lord, some of us know many people who wish they could go home now, who wish they did not have to be here. But You have things that You are still teaching us. You have ways and waters of judgment that You are helping us cross. And Lord, help us to know more and more that You, as our Savior, are in control of all things, that You are intimate with us, that we do not need to be afraid because we have You. Help us to love You. Help us to trust You in all that we do. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.